Thanks, David. Happy New Year to everybody who's here. And I'd like to pray as well to start out. Father, we thank you that you are our strength and our shield, and we thank you that you speak to us in your word. You speak to us at the communion table as well, and so we are thankful to ring in the new year together and ring in the new year around your table and also hearing from your word. Pray that your Holy Spirit would bring the things of Scripture to our minds and to our attention and put these things in our hearts. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Turn to Matthew 24. That's where I'm going. And as we pass a marker from 2021 to 2022, we're in the midst of a time that's like no other, at least in my lifetime. I can't think of any time that's been like this one. So does the Bible say anything about the times that we're living through, these times? And does it not only give us a description of them, but also instruction for how to stand firm against the pressures that are brought to bear against us as Christians and as the church in these times? And it does. The Lord Jesus spoke about these times and gave us instruction for these times as well, and he did it right before he went to the cross, which is what we're remembering at the Lord's table. So Matthew 24, verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. For those things must take place, and yet that is not the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs." And so he mentions things that it sounds like what we're living through, a lot of these things. Wars, rumors of wars. Kingdom rising against kingdoms. It mentions famines and earthquakes. And in the parallel passage, Luke's gospel, it says there will be great earthquakes and in various places plagues and famines. Well, okay, plague. That's what we've been living through during this time, and that's what's prophesied. What time period is this that the Lord is talking about when he's describing these things happening? Is it a future time from now? Well, the disciples asked the Lord, because he started talking about his coming, and they asked him, "What is going to be the sign of your coming?" And these are actually not signs of his comings. They're signs that the end is not yet. And you see that at the end of verse 6, as he's describing these things, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilences, that is not yet the end. That's not what you're asking about yet. It's the time we're living through now. In other words, it's not he's not describing the Great Tribulation or something like that. He's describing the time leading up to that. Or verse 8, all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs, not the coming of the Lord, but what precedes them, the birth pangs. And then you get to verse 14. We haven't read that yet. But he says, "And then the end will come." And now he starts talking about what is yet future, and that's in verse 15 to 35, and there's descriptions of that future time, what we call the Great Tribulation, and also instructions for that time. But these are instructions for the time we're living in now, before Christ comes, and the time that the church exists in, and the church lives in, and so these are instructions. And so the Lord described things like we're living through now, and he describes them as birth pangs. Birth pangs, in other words, a birth pang precedes the birth. It precedes the coming of, and so that's these as well. They precede Christ's coming. Also, birth pangs intensify before the coming of the baby, right? And so in that way, these are birth pangs. So these things you might say are going to be increasing in the time of the church: wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, and even plagues, pestilences, diseases, like we've been living through. The plague, COVID, that we've been living through is perhaps not the worst the world's ever seen in its severity, but maybe in its scope, maybe the way that it travels throughout the whole world. fast. And so these are birth pangs that are intensifying. And so that idea of intensifying of troubles, trials, difficulties of various kinds before the coming of the Lord in the time that we're living through now is also in the rest of Scripture as well. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13. That's not what I'm after. Maybe 1 Timothy. Oh, I'm in 1 Timothy. Sorry, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so that also is going to increase. Evil men, imposters, deceiving and being deceived, going from bad to worse. And so the increasing outward pressure during this time is prophesied to bring increasing division, actually, in the church. That's what the pressure, that's the kind of pressure that it puts on the church. And the Lord speaks of that in verse 9. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because of lawlessness, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. And so there's a terrible division, actually, that's described of being delivered over to death, even by those in the church. Luke chapter 21, verse 16, that's kind of the parallel passage to this. The way Luke records this says, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. And so the Lord describes this and warns about it. It's about as severe as it gets for this, and it's increasing as the pressures increase. That's sort of the end of the process. It's about as bad as it can get, being betrayed by friends, family. That's the end of the process that the Lord pictures as he speaks of this time as love growing cold. Verse 12, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. And so love is pictured as a flame cooling. And so if you've watched a campfire go out, you know, it's hot at first and then it gets cooler and cooler. And then if you, it's overnight, it's cooled. By the end. So, and that's the process. The pressure brings, it causes love to grow cold. It leads even to the worst kind of division in the church. So what does the Lord mean when he said, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold? Speaking of in the church, most people's love will grow cold. What does he mean by that? Well, the Lord's discourse here comes at the end of a long conversation before him of prophets who spoke about lawlessness and lawlessness increasing. The final opposer of the church, and we know him as the Antichrist, will be a king who does what he pleases. That's the way he's described. King James Version describes him as the king who does according to his will. King who does whatever he wants. And a lot of Daniel talks about that kind of a situation, both in what is past and also what's in the future. As well. And so a king who's not constrained by laws, the final Antichrist will be like that, just like his predecessors also mentioned in Daniel, like Alexander the Great, who's also called a king who does according to his will, or Antiochus Epiphanes, who's also called a king who does according to his will. And neither of them had much time for any laws that got in their way of what they wanted to accomplish. The final Antichrist that all of this sort of culminates in, all these pressures building, it's going to culminate actually during the tribulation period. I don't think we're going to be around for that, but it's those same kind of pressures are building. That final Antichrist will exalt and magnify himself above God, Daniel 11:36. He will honor a God of fortresses, that is, he'll just honor a God of strength, Daniel 11:38. He will intend to make alterations in times and in law, Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, so make changes. Changing all the time. That's not a new thing. And he will be, Paul says, a man of lawlessness. That's what he's called. That's in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 3. In the same chapter, Paul says that lawlessness is already at work. It's already at work during the time of the church. So it's talking about increasing rule by, not by law, but by sheer will. Not by right or legitimacy, but by might. And I think we've seen an increase in opposing both law and also order that God has established in his world. I think that's what it's speaking of, lawlessness being increased. There's also been an accompanying crime wave of theft, murder, rioting, violence. I saw a picture of people who'd parked their cars somewhere in our country, and they all left their doors open so that when they get robbed, they won't smash the windows. So that's something I've never seen before in our country or in any other country as well. So it speaks of lawlessness increasing, and I think that's it's referring to an outward pressure upon the church, causing love to cool. And so that's something we're to be aware of when we live through these times, that we're to be on guard against that. And what are we to do in that? What is the instructions for that? Verse 13. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. And so we're supposed to endure. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And I think there's a big encouragement in that, because as these pressures increase, as even division begins to happen and increase, and an accompanying maybe smallness as well, that's when the church succeeds. That's when success is around the corner. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. And so as pressures and difficulties increase, the Lord has good for us, good that we can't even foresee. That's why it's exciting to be a Christian. The Lord uses things that are difficult, things that are hard, things that we would never imagine coming against us to do something to cause success and to bring actual blessing even beyond what we are able to pray for. So it talks about the church succeeding in its mission. And then the end will come, then the time of the end. And now he starts speaking about the time when the Antichrist is actually ruling and all the things that are happening. We'll skip that part. And then we get to verse 42 and his instruction for the disciples living through the time of the church and waiting for the time of Christ's return resumes. Verse 42, therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. And so we're to be on the alert during this time for Christ's return, because nobody knows the day or the hour of the time of his return. So it's maybe this year, 2022, that we'll hear a trumpet sound, and our privilege will be to go into heaven together. And that would be wonderful if it's 2022. All the things that are happening, they can't help but make you think of that, maybe in a different way, and maybe that's part of why the Lord is putting us through this. So maybe 2022 could be the year when Christ returns. Maybe 2021, we only have 2 hours and 20 minutes left, but it could be, you know, and that's what the instruction is. Therefore, be on the alert, be watchful. And so the Lord exhorts us as we live through this time to watchfulness and expectancy for Christ's return. So are you watching? Are you expecting? Do you think about that? Maybe today could be the day that Christ returns. Or has your life become too cluttered that it clutters that part out and you don't think of that very often, or you think of the Christian life as something else than expecting Christ's return? The New Testament talks about those who are saved. They were saved in order for their sins to be forgiven, to live for Christ and to serve him and to wait for his return. That's part and parcel of salvation. So have you forgotten that Christ exhorts us in this time to be on the alert, to be watchful, to be expectant for his coming? But it's not only watchfulness and expectancy, but also during this time, the Lord exhorts us in the rest of this passage that looks towards the future to faithfulness and stewardship and keeping obligations in his church. So verse 43, but be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would have not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so, since we don't know the day and hour of the Lord's return, we're to be faithful. We're to keep to our post, not knowing when he comes, because the warning here is accompanied by these very grave threats that if the master comes and finds the one he's put in charge getting drunk, abusing the servants, this sort of thing, there's terrible punishment awaiting. And so there's harsh warnings here. They're for us. And the Lord loses not a one of those who belonged to him. In fact, it says that we're kept by God's power through faith. But one of the ways that we're kept is through means. And one of the means is warnings, even severe warnings. And so the Lord gives passages like this to keep our attention for each of us to stay faithful to our post, because the time is short. Because the time is short. To keep short accounts with God, to confess sin quickly when you fall into sin, because the time is short. To keep short accounts with each other, to settle disputes quickly, to make sure that our love doesn't grow cold or even begin to grow cold, and to not drag on disputes on and on, because the time is short. So the time to resolve, the time to love is now. And so this is the way in which we're to be living in light of Christ's return. The Lord's Supper, that's why we're here tonight, looks backward. Of course, it's a remembrance, but it also looks forward. It's an anticipation. And so Paul says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. So it's not only looking back at the cross, it's looking forward to the future as well. The Lord Jesus explained, as he was drinking of the cup of the Lord's Supper with the disciples, that his drinking of the cup was in part a pledge. I will no longer drink of this cup until that day when I drink it new in my Father's kingdom. And at that day, Christ will be present. And so there will be no need for the Lord's Supper. He will testify of his love for you in person, and his death for you in person, and his body for you in person. But until that time, we have the Lord's Supper, which tells you that Christ's body is for you. And so if his body is for you, it means your soul is sort of tied down on both ends, the cross and then the return of Christ as well. He died on the cross, and his body, he's returning bodily. And in the meantime, we're united to him in his body by faith. So he died on the cross for you in person because he loves you. He's going to finish what he started in you. He's coming again for you in person as well. And so in 2022, you're to be ready for him to return. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would give us a spirit of readiness, a spirit of endurance, a spirit of trust in you, and a spirit of watchfulness as well. Father, we thank you that Christ died for us, that Christ belongs to us, that you are finishing the work that you have for us. We pray for each one of us in 2022. We pray for blessing in this new year. We pray for growth as well. We pray for our church. Pray that you cause us to grow as well, that you would cause us to grow in our maturity and to grow in number as well. We pray that you would fill this year with great blessings, and we trust you to bring us through difficulties and trials, and even make us better for them, and stronger and closer to you. And so we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.